Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we look to the scripture today that talks about obedience and how obedience leads to freedom. Our obedience is not a prison, it's not shackles, but it actually frees us to have your heart and to have liberty in you. So we give you thanks for that, and we ask that Pastor Josh that will bring us that message today, that our hearts would be open to that message. Amen.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Pick this little guy up here. Sorry, I know it's kind of unfair. I get to take my mask off for the preaching part, but just good to see everyone here and to be able to sing songs of praise always. You know, that's one of my favorite parts of worship service is just to hear around me, right? I think that's one of the joys of being in person together, where when we were all virtual on Zoom, you know, we had to mute ourselves, otherwise we get 1,000 different tempos and melodies and beats and harmonies, whether it's intentional or not. But just being able to sing about the power of Jesus in our lives, the truth of his love, who he is, what an awesome thing that we can do together as the body of Christ. And so whether you're joining us on Zoom or for all of us here who are in person, now we get to go into his word together. And we've been going through the book of Acts. And you know, last week we learned about the importance of reading the Bible responsibly, reading it, making sure when we read of it that we take the context of the text, the context of the scripture at the time, to be aware of it when we're studying his word. And we saw how that there's purpose throughout the course of history of humanity, that God in his sovereign will, God in his authority as the one true God, the one creator, and the rest of us, his creation, that he is sovereign and has authority, and his will is being done. So throughout different times in history, different events, different things that have happened, and as we look in the Bible, we saw that God was working through the early church. The apostles of Jesus Christ, they were performing miracles regularly. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were doing miraculous signs and wonders. But remember, what we learned was that all of those miracles ultimately were done with one purpose in mind, which is to glorify God and to point to Jesus Christ, the one true God. And the hope is that if you see a miracle or witness a miracle done through the name of Jesus, that you might have an interest. Well, who is this Jesus? Not that you'd be enamored with the miracle itself. Yes, sure, miracles are amazing. But who is the one with the power to make such things that defy science, that defy the things of this world happen? Who is it? And we know that that is Jesus Christ. And we learned that the most important miracle that God ever did for the world was to send his only son, Jesus, who lived the perfect life, though being fully man, fully God, in his humanity, never sinning against God, but doing everything according to the will of the Father. And then he died on the cross, and then he rose again. So for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today we're going to talk about what it means to have freedom in obedience. When he died on the cross for our sins, when we place our faith in him, we're no longer under the bondage of sin. We're no longer controlled by our own carnal or fleshly desires, but we have a new nature put in us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can actually live in the way that God meant for us to live, so that we can actually live in the way that honors him and glorifies him rather than ourselves. So let's go ahead and look together at what it means to have this great freedom in obedience to Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32, this is the word of God. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to all the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. Verse 25, and someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And he's speaking about Jesus. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Let's pray together. God, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for your grace. What a miracle that those of us who are and were lost in sin, in darkness, God, you sent Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one who came to take away our sin once and for all for those who would believe. We marvel at who you are, and we want to live in a way that honors and glorifies you, and you teach us that it's through obedience that we can honor you and glorify you. But God, you tell us that you want more than just outward behavior and action. Again and again, you point us to your heart, so that as we experience your love, that our hearts would be changed to live for you. So God, would you be with us as we hear your word? Energize those of us who are tired, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and give us rest as we hear from your word. Give us peace as we interact with your word that is living and active. But by the Holy Spirit, God, would you work through me? This is your word for our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we talk about this idea of freedom in obedience, we remember that it's obedience to Christ. Obedience, who you obey, makes the obedience important. And so we're going to talk about this relationship that the early church, as they place their faith in Jesus, as they're seeking to live to honor and glorify him, what that's going to look like in terms of the freedom that he gives to us. And one thing that I want us to think about is ultimately that God, as we shared, he is in control of all things. So when we place our faith in Jesus and who he is, when we place our faith in the one true God, then we must surrender our lives completely to his authority. And we're going to talk about when we look at freedom, when we look at his law, it shows us about his character, who he is. And that works in our lives, that enables us to see and grow and change as we depend on him more. So there's two points that we're going to look at together today about this freedom. True freedom is from God. True freedom is from God. And secondly, true freedom is lived out in truth. And that's truth with a capital T, the truth, the word of God, the promises of God, what he gives to us from Genesis to Revelation. And so as we look at these two points together, I hope that we will be challenged and maybe even rebuked to see our lives and see areas in which maybe we are not experiencing life and the freedom that he wants us to have in Christ Jesus, that we would repent and that we would turn to him in faith and obedience. So let's start with that first point. True freedom is from God. Now, when we hear the word obedience, we likely associate it with the following of rules or stipulations. And that makes sense. We obey traffic laws. We obey classroom rules. We obey tax law, right? We so forth and so on. We have a lot of different rules and laws that we have to follow. And so along with that, when we hear the word obedience, again, there may be some negative connotations that come up. Things that prohibit us from doing certain things, things that restrict us from doing certain things. And so already in that word obedience oftentimes is a very negative connotation. In fact, the world kind of makes it popular to say rules are meant to be broken. You know, like, oh, you're cool. You're living on the edge. You're a rebel. It almost kind of glorifies those things. But when we look at the Bible, we're going to see that obedience is actually the most cool thing. Sorry, that's really lame, but you know what I mean? Like, when we follow God, obedience to Him is actually the best thing that we could be doing. Because it's what we were meant to do when He first created us. That there wasn't this decision that we had to make to say, well, is life all about me or is it all about God and my relationship with Him? See, God does not want to restrict us. That's not His heart. God does not want to prohibit us. That's not His heart. Actually, what He wants us to do is live life freely as we were designed to live, in right relationship with Him, not in the bondage of sin, not living for the things of this world, but living for the eternal things, living for God and His glory. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." You see, it's saying, church, if you are believers of Jesus Christ, you're no longer under the yoke of slavery. And yet, you still keep going back to it. And yet, you still keep living lives that look much like the world. That's not who you are anymore. Christ has set you free. Imagine how weird it would be for someone who has been freed from shackles. You're free to go. He says, yes, I'm out. And then he starts slowly creeping back towards the chains and starts bolting himself back up. You're like, what is this guy doing? You just got freedom. Why are you going back and putting on some chains? And yet that's still what we do as Christians oftentimes. We look at the shackles and we say, oh, well, oh man, those felt really comfortable. There was something about them. And all along, Jesus is saying, look at the freedom that's in me. Freedom to live in obedience. Freedom that only I can give to you through my Son, Jesus Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stop submitting to the yoke of slavery. See, when we're truly free, we're free to obey the Lord. When we're truly free, we don't look at God's laws and say, oh, He's saying I can't do this. Oh, He's saying I can't do that. No, we look at God's laws and His ways and say, that's the way that I want to live because that's the way that my God has shown me His love and His kindness. That's the way He has shown me His grace. So you see, right now, what's happening in this very passage is that there are Jewish rulers and the council, and they've come to arrest the apostles yet again. For what are they doing? They're preaching the word of God. You see, there's something going on in their hearts, even though they know the scriptures, even though they're the ones who are at temple more times a week than the rest of the people, still, for some reason, though they are the most religious, they miss out on the heart of God. They don't truly know. And we're going to see that they are not truly free in their hearts either. So let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. It says, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach." So when we talk about this freedom that God gives, I'm going to talk about two different aspects. I've already touched often on the spiritual, but even the physical, there is a physical freedom that God has the authority and power to give to us. Quite literally, we see physical freedom happening for the apostles. They're put in jail. The Jewish leaders had already talked to Peter and said, hey, you guys got to stop talking about this Jesus. But they couldn't really do anything to them. But now they continued on. They didn't listen to them. So they're going out of their way, and they put them in jail once again. The Jewish rulers were very, very clear. Obey us or face the consequences. But as we know, the apostles did not stop. And in fact, many, many more people came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So the Jewish rulers are angry at the defiance that they see. And so they seek to arrest them again. But here we see what happens. That as they are physically jailed, being punished for something that is not even a crime, that God physically frees them from their chains, physically frees them from captivity. Now, this is an important thing to see here, because we talk about spiritual freedom. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a moment. But God has the power to free us from the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. Maybe you've experienced that at some point in your life. You were going through the most difficult time of your life. You felt like you were trapped. You felt like that there was no way out. And so you called out to God, please save me. Please help me. Maybe it was someone who was sick and you prayed to God, please help me. And they were freed from that physical illness or ailment, the circumstances that were set before. Maybe we find ourselves in a situation where we feel trapped, and God is saying, I have freedom that I can give to you. I have power to take you out of that situation, to remove that circumstance from your life. Do you believe that God has the power? Amen. He has the power to do that. Now, will it always happen that way? No, but we acknowledge, again, who God is in his power, in his love, in his authority, that we know that he has the power to do that. So we see that happen here. They're in jail, and then they're free. But even when God does not take us out of a bad situation, even when the circumstances around us do not change, in our hearts, we have to learn that freedom does not mean freedom from difficulty and hardship, but freedom in Christ means that when you're going through hardship and different circumstances in life, that he is still the one that we can depend on and count on. We can freely obey him and follow him in the midst of difficult circumstances, and he has the power to free us physically from difficulty and hardship, but at times we still must look to him and say, God, what are you trying to show me or teach me? God, help me to discern what you want me to learn more about who you are and how I can obey you in the midst of this hardship. I think that's the hard part. Sometimes when we're going through difficulty, all we want is an exit sign. All we want is a way out. Say, God, free me from this. And freedom to us looks like, well, everything around me changes. But freedom to God, the true freedom, comes inwardly so that no matter what the outside circumstances look like, inside we recognize the freedom that has been given to us by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's a physical freedom, but the spiritual freedom. What has captivated your heart? What is your heart's obedience? Who do you trust inwardly? Not just outwardly, okay, you're here at church, so duh, I'm here, Pastor Josh, I'm trusting God, I'm at church. But inwardly, in your life, daily, who are you trusting in? Who are you placing your faith in? Who are you surrendered to? Whose authority do you most care about? Whose glory do you most care about? And we're going to see, as we look at the apostles, and we see that in contrast to the Sadducees and the Jewish rulers, that the Jewish rulers, though they know the scripture, though they are the most religious, they in fact are being held captive and have just, they're under the bondage of sin. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 21 again. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the part of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. Let me stop there for a moment. You see, the apostles have been jailed for preaching Jesus. They face opposition from very strong Jewish rulers. So how could they keep preaching Jesus? Well, they know the freedom that God had given to them. They were understanding of the miracle that they were called to take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. They know that they face arrest. They know that they face persecution, even death, but they aren't afraid. Why? Because they're free. They know that this world and all of its powers and even all the evil in the world has no hold on them. So they're going to keep on preaching, recognizing the freedom that comes from God. Let's stop here and look at the Sadducees. Look at the language that's used. It says, filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. Now this is what being in bondage looks like. Now how do I say that? Why do I say that? Because they get jealous and then they react. Their heart is not getting something that it wants. And so you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to react. I'm going to lash out. You see, they are controlled by their sinful desire. They're jealous, so they must act on it. My power, my status is in jeopardy, so I must act to protect myself, to protect my own glory, to protect my own status. And so filled with jealousy, oh, those guys are becoming too popular. This message of the resurrection, that Jesus guy, it's getting much out of hand. We got to do something about this, otherwise we're going to lose what we have in this world. You see how their hearts are controlled by sinful desire. Their hearts are controlled by the bondage of the things of this world. They're not spiritually free. Though they call themselves the closest to God, they don't understand the heart of God, and they're still living according to the parameters that the world sets for them. So we see them arrest the apostles, and they make it intentional, make it very public, almost as a warning sign still to say, look, if you keep trying to follow this Jesus guy, this could happen to you too. But God makes it clear that his plan will not be thwarted, that he has the ultimate authority, and he proves that he frees the apostles, empowers them to obey him in the midst of danger. And this is what I want to say, especially for those of us who have grown up in the church and been in church for a while. We actually can sometimes look more like the Sadducees. We kind of get the outside part down. We go to church. We know the right things to say. We know the right things to do. And yet inwardly, we're not free from our sin. Inwardly, we're still, oh, I wonder what people think of me. I wonder what they say of me. We just try to put on our best outside. But inwardly, we're struggling. There's things that only God can see, but he wants that inside part to be clean, to be purified, to be growing in holiness and righteousness in him. So the Sadducees, they don't understand what true freedom is. They don't have spiritual freedom, and we've seen it. They were jealous, and so they react. We see that they don't have freedom from the fear of man. They don't have freedom from their own sinful desires. It's always, what do I look like? My status, my power, what am I in this world? And God says, that's not what you should be living for. You see, they wanted to exert their authority. You listen to me. You listen to us. You listen to our rules. And the apostles said, no. We're going to listen to God, because the laws he gives to us reflects who he is, because what he asks of me, when we obey, we're freely doing what he has created us to do. And look at this in verse 22. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison. So they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. So can you just imagine, they already have this plan. We're going to secure our power, and we're going to secure our status. So we're going to put them in jail. We're going to put them on trial. Then they go to pick up these guys for the trial, and they're not there. Can you imagine the panic, or even just like, oh my gosh, this is going to look really, really bad on us. Our authority, our status, everything's going to be put into question. You see, there is this thing that we do where we want to put our authority in this world, our control, and say, look, God, even with God, you listen to me. This is what I'm going to do with my life. You help me do that. The Sadducees here, they're looking at their own authority, saying, obey us or pay the price. And they were willing to do whatever, improperly jailing, improperly putting people on trial. And yet, how comical is it? As they're trying so hard to hold on to their power, the people that they've put in jail, locked up, even with soldiers guarding the gate, the prisoners are gone. The apostles are gone. And to make it even worse, look what happens in verse 25 and 26. And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Do you guys find that funny at all? When I read the Bible, sometimes I just laugh because God is so awesome. It's like he commands them to do the opposite of what these guys who are trying to hold power are telling them not to do. So it's like, look, we don't know where they are. And when they find them, they're doing the very thing that they had just jailed them for. It's like ultimate defiance of their authority, of their power. And so God is making clear again and again, when I give you freedom, you don't have to have fear of man. When I give you freedom, you don't have to worry about what the world thinks about you. You be right before God and live in a way that obeys him and honors him and glorifies him. And look again in verse 26. You might have missed it here, but let's look at it together. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Now, why is that important? It shows again that they don't have spiritual freedom. Even when they go to arrest them and bring them back for trial, they don't do it by force. Why? Because, oh my goodness, what are the people going to do to us? You see that? Everything that they're doing is motivated by itself. It's self-centered. And when your life is self-centered, when your life is all about you, I promise you it's much more exhausting. When you're trying to protect your own reputation, when you're trying to make yourself look good, when you want to show everyone you have the power, you have the authority, you are going to be exhausted. There's no freedom in that. That's actually bondage. But God says, I give you freedom. You don't have to be afraid of what people think about you anymore. You don't have to be afraid of what the world says about you, because what I say about you is that you are free indeed, and that you have the truth, the Holy Spirit, God himself in you and with you. Amen? So we stop living like the rest of the world. We stop living for worldly things that pass away. We stop trying to prop ourselves up and push others down. We raise God on high. That's what our lives are about. That's what spiritual freedom looks like. The Sadducees outwardly look like the spiritual ones. They pray, they fast, they teach in the temples. And yet in their hearts, there's no freedom. It's still everything dictated by selfishness, by pride, by sin, by what others think of them, the fear of man. Maybe some of us here still struggle with the fear of man. Maybe we still struggle with wanting the worldly things. Maybe we still struggle with selfishness and pride. Be honest with God. Right now, as we hear about this freedom that God has for us, don't you want to experience that in your life? If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you have been given the freedom. Now the question is, will you live it out in truth? Will you go to him? Will you surrender to him with your whole lives? What areas of your lives are you not experiencing the freedom of God? I guarantee you those areas are areas of disobedience. What are the areas that you're still clinging and holding on to so dearly? God, I don't want to give you this aspect of my life. I don't want to entrust this part. It's too important to me. And God says, do you want freedom? Give it to me. Repent. Turn it over to me. Surrender it to me. I want you to experience joy and not being tied down by your sin any longer, not be tied down by this world any longer. Live for me. When everything is about you, it would seem that things are great, but everything becomes a burden because it's all on you, all about you. And God says, experience freedom and obedience and living for me. And that's the second point that we're going to look at as we close out. True freedom is lived out in truth, with a capital T. Verse 27, it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And that's where it is again. Who do you give the authority in your life over to? Is it to other men? Is it to other people? What they view you, what the world says, the culture? Or is it God? Because that'll show who you obey. And if you have Christ in your heart, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you understand the freedom that he has given to us. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. So the Jewish rulers, they charged them to stop preaching the name of Jesus. But God had entrusted them and called them to share this with the whole world. All of us sitting here, we're here because the apostles obeyed God. Think about that. If the apostles did not obey God those many, many years ago, then we are not sitting here right now hearing this word. But God, in his goodness, in his authority, as he called the apostles, who weren't perfect by any means, still they bravely, boldly preached the word. Why? Because they didn't fear man. They weren't living for this world any longer. In John chapter 8, the famous verses, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What does that mean? They're free to live out their calling as children of God, live out their calling as apostles of God. Church, we are the people of God. We are now the apostles, maybe not with a capital A. We are apostles. We're followers of Christ. We should live in a way that glorifies him, that teaches all about his resurrection. That's how we live freedom out in truth. We stand on something. We hold to something. You know, we had a really good discussion in our young professional fellowship this past Wednesday, and one of the questions that came up was about God's law. Does it change with time? Does God's law evolve? Does it, you know, this used to be okay, but then it's not okay, and now it is okay. Like, does God change with the times, in essence, was the question. But we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever on. He's immutable. He never changes in his character, in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his grace, in his loving kindness. Who he is forever will be. From what he was in the beginning. He was the only one in the beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. But we live out the truth, the principles that the Bible teaches us, the things of this world that the Bible teaches us in God's perspective that he has given to us. We stand on those things. Even when the world comes crashing down on us, we stand firm on the word of God. Amen. You're going to feel it. Maybe you feel it already in your workplaces, in your schools, maybe even in your families or your best friends, whoever it might be. Things that go against the word of God. I'm telling you right now, as many thousands are, we might feel so outnumbered by the people who are living for the world. Yes, that's the truth. Culture, all these different things, the world, success, all the different things that the world is teaching you to live for, that might feel so heavy on us, but God wants us to live our freedom out in truth. So we hold to what God has said. We hold to what he has taught us. Verse 30 to 32, we're going to finish with this. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We're going to end here because it's a really awesome thing that we see happening here. The Sadducees and the Jewish rulers are continually saying, stop preaching about this message. Stop talking about Jesus and the resurrection. They're probably jealous. We want to do miracles. We feel like we've been following God and we haven't been able to do anything. But the Holy Spirit is working in the church because they have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the cool thing is that the apostles, when they answer, they're doing the same thing again. You see, they're living out this preaching of the truth. So in the midst of a trial, it's like in every sphere of what's happening in this passage, the apostles are preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Do you guys see that here? I mean, I hope that's there. I hope when you read the Bible that like, you can take a look and kind of chuckle sometimes. This is like funny stuff. This is like so comical. They're saying, stop preaching, stop preaching, stop preaching. We're going to put you in jail. So they're in jail. God frees them by an angel. Tells them to go preach. So they're out in the temple preaching. So they come and arrest them. They put them on trial. They say, stop preaching, stop preaching. And then the apostles say, look, this is the story of the gospel. God came. He didn't deserve death, but he was put on a cross. But he rose again. And that's the gospel that frees us. That's the message that we stand on. And so my question to you is this. Are you living in obedience to God? Not just outwardly, but inwardly in your heart. Are you experiencing freedom in your life? Or are you so burdened by the things of this world? Are you so attached to the things of this world that you just cannot understand the love of God to its fullest? He wants you to experience the fullness of the freedom that he gives to you. He wants you to live it out in truth. And the only way we can do that is by repenting and continuing to turn to God and surrender. He has the authority in this world. Who have you given your life to? Who are you living your life for? I pray that as a church, we will experience true freedom and obedience to God by grace and faith. Let's pray. Just take one moment before we close out in prayer. Just a moment to respond. What's holding you? Like, what's keeping you in bondage? What's keeping you in shackles from living a life that's just free? And sometimes we make those shackles for ourselves, don't we? Like Jesus just says, love me, know me, experience my love. And we even put up extra parameters. Oh, well, I didn't do this right. Well, I didn't do this right. What will people think of me? What will they say of me? What will the church think? Jesus says, just know my love. I'm in control. Give over your life fully to me. Have you done that with your life? If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, you are still not truly free. And I'm not saying if you're not someone who comes to church, I'm not saying if you're not someone who reads the Bible, I'm saying if you don't know Jesus, you're still in bondage. I could not care less if this sanctuary was filled to the brim with so many people, if in their hearts they did not know, genuinely in their hearts, the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. I want each and every one of us to know, and anyone who comes into this place, that truly the Holy Spirit will work. That right now, if you are not a believer, if you turn to him, say, God, I want to have freedom in my life from my sins, from the fear of man, from just wanting just the things of this world, then God will receive you. You'll be forgiven, and once and for all, you'll be his. Then you have the freedom to obey and live for him. I want that for every single one of us. If you're already a believer of Jesus Christ, stop putting shackles on. Stop putting the shackles back on yourself and living a life that looks just like what it was before you gave your life to the Lord. Stop drifting back into the purposes of this world. Stop giving authority back to the world and to its rulers. We have one authority, and that is Christ Jesus, our King. So if you are a believer, pray right now, will you with me? That you would surrender to God in every aspect of your life, and that you would obey Him so that you can experience this freedom. Let's pray just for a moment and I'll close this. Lord, we thank you for your word, that we can see what you have for us. See how you want for us to live our lives. But that it's not just an outward code of behaviors or rules or restrictions. It is your heart that you want us to see. So every single person here, myself included, open up our hearts and our minds to truly live in the freedom that you give to us. Help us to obey you in every aspect of our lives, to have integrity from every aspect of our lives, not just when we show up on Sundays that we have the right answers or that we do the right things, but every day, every moment of our lives, that we would seek to glorify you, our God. That is freedom and obedience, and it can only come from you, and it only comes when we stand on your truth. So help us do that as people of God and as a church. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.